Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
More than sunshine and blue skies, what makes the summer sound so nice? Protein meat sizzling on the grill. Go to butcherbox.com/herd. Free box of bacon. Free bacon, I should say, in the first box. Butcherbox.com/herd. So Jim Jackson played for a decade and a half in the NBA. He did the Bucks Heat game Saturday. Nets Celtics game 5 tonight. And he is now joining us live. You know, Jim, it's interesting. Embiid is now hurt. Luka's hurt. Mm-hmm. Chris Paul's been hurt. AD is hurt. It seems like there's more injuries now than ever, or am I over-dramatizing it because we live in the moment? When you go back to your days, were injuries as common and were they as influential as they are now? I thought football was the injury sport, but it's these basketball guys, all these stars. I mean, was it this bad years ago and we just didn't pay attention?
Yeah, I would say injury's always been a part of it. I think it's because now maybe it's the names that are associated with the injuries that cause the alarm a little bit more. But, you know, at this juncture of the season, Colin, as you know, it's such a long season that everybody has something. You know, now it's the difference between playing injured and hurt. You know what I mean? And playing hurt, a lot of guys are playing hurt. You know, a lot of guys are playing hurt. But it just seems like, I think, the names because of what it is. And Luka's is probably not as serious as maybe AD's because of his groin, and Kimba's because of his knee, things like that. But it's just ironic that a lot of big-name players are kind of quote-unquote injured right now at this point in the season.
Were you more impressed with the Bucks or less impressed with Miami since you called that? What side do you take? What side was more alarming or impressive?
You know, more so this, Kyle, it was the Bucks, because this year I thought this retooled team with Drew Holiday, I think Bobby Portis, Bryn Forbes really playing well, they're so different than the Bucks team of last year, just having that dynamic. And, you know, all year Miami has struggled. So I was not at all surprised that maybe not that the Bucks swept them, but how and what fashion they were able to do it in. Miami just had their struggles, and their two best players, Bam Adebayo and also Jimmy Butler, really didn't have the kind of impactful games along with the Tyler Hero and Duncan Robinson. You know, so watching that team play all year, I knew Milwaukee could get through this round. I didn't know it would be a sweep, but just thoroughly impressed with how Milwaukee is going about their business.
So Nets are going to finish off the Celtics, I would presume, tonight. Then they would face Milwaukee. So if what should I watch for when I watch Brooklyn tonight? What will they be able to do against a Milwaukee, and what would concern you if you were a Brooklyn Nets fan going forward?
Well, I mean, it's a dynamic that's different. Steve Nash talked about this, and with this Brooklyn team, because we always talk about how great the big three are. Okay, especially in isolation situations. But they really want, Steve Nash really wants the ball to move chain size, because that makes it more difficult to have to guard this team. But it also gets guys like Joe Harris, Landry Shamet, gets those guys involved as well in the offense, because James Harden sets the table for everybody, okay? And when the ball is moving side to side, it's tough to guard every inch of the court. And this Brooklyn team is so dynamic with their big three that the other guys are going to get opportunity. So if you're watching this Boston game tonight, just keep an eye on how many passes Brooklyn makes before the shot goes up. And I'm not saying it's going to be like that all the time. But when they do that, this is a different dynamic of their, you know, offense. And when you play against a tough Milwaukee team who has, you know, defenders that are very good, and plus you have size inside with Giannis and Brooks Lopez, you got to move that size in order for you to really get shots at the basket.
Listen, You watch a lot. You do college and pro, but you watched Anthony Davis with Kentucky. Then you watched them his first 6 or 7 years with the Pelicans. So Laker fans are like, man, this guy gets hurt a lot. And my takeaway would be, no, he always has. You just didn't watch Pelican games.
Yeah, right.
So when I look at this Anthony Davis, and I'm like, if I'm the Lakers this morning, Jim, I'm like, we got a 5-year deal on this dude. And this it's getting more games and more games and more games. Mm-hmm. I mean, do you think the Lakerland, those executives and LeBron are sitting there thinking, we are tied to this for 5 years, guys, and this is what he is. He's hurt about every third game.
You know, it's interesting, Kyle. I'm glad you brought it up because when I saw what we were going to talk about, I was going to say the bigger picture for the Lakers moving forward is that, okay, LeBron, he can go another couple of years, but at what level is he going to be able to play at? It's still going to be a high level. But post-LeBron, the feeling in upper management has to be that we have to get somebody else in here.
Yes.
Because AD can't carry the load by himself because he is injury prone.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I hate to put that on a person, but it's, I don't know if it was a late growth spurt with Anthony Davis coming out of high school when he grew all of a sudden and his body has rejected a lot of that because he's been injured. He's injury prone. And it's just a little thing. And sometimes there's nothing as an athlete that he can do.
Yeah.
Now, he didn't come into the season in the best of shape.
That's right.
Because, you know, the bubble, and they didn't have a lot of time off. So, he chilled. Yeah, he won a championship, let his body rest. So putting that pressure early on to get himself back in shape, I think had some residual effects that we're seeing later in the year. But, I hate it for Anthony Davis because he's such a phenomenal player, but this has been a part of his playing history. And if you're the Lakers, you better be concerned well beyond this year.
Yeah, no, this is a really good point, is that even if you love AD, he is not a bankable number one star with his injury history. No. So I was saying, and again, you're a college pro guy, the Utah Jazz are Gonzaga. They're great, but until Gonzaga can win a title and we can see it, we just discount them.
Mm-hmm.
And Utah has got the comeback player of the year, defensive player of the year, Donovan Mitchell, Quinn Snyder, most threes, great at home. Nobody talks about him. And I'm watching this Memphis series, and I'm like, they got like 9 guys that can stroke a three. Like, this is a real team. Do you buy Utah, or their ceiling's low. Where are you on the Jazz?
No, I mean, I love the Jazz. I love the way they play, especially Mike Conley. Come on, he's an Ohio State guy, so I got to pull for that. But I love the way they play the game. Now, I never thought that they were the team I would pick to win a championship. Could they get to a conference finals? Of course. Could they get to a finals? Of course they could. They have the talent. They have the size. They play defense. They can shoot the three. But it's ironic is that even when – think about this, Colin, and you were, I think, maybe in Portland at the time, Seattle area, when Utah, when you had Karl Malone and John Stockton, that crew, as great as they were, didn't get any really run. People – weren't knocking down doors to go see Utah play a lot. I mean, really, they weren't headline top of the Sports Center or, the NBA docket. And it's the case. It's just some teams, some organizations, no matter how good they are, they're still not as sexy as a New York team that is not as good. But the sexiness drives from it being in New York compared to Utah.
Right. Yeah. No. By the way, the Utah with Jerry Sloan was great for 11 years.
In fact,
nobody gave Michael Jordan's Bulls more trouble in the finals than Utah twice.
But then it's like, okay, they get there, right? Yeah, Utah, but then you don't pay attention to them again, which is unfortunate because if you haven't seen Utah play, I mean, this team can play. Defensively, they're great. They love to move the ball and spread it around. You know, I love watching Joe Ingles play slow-mo Joe because he just plays the right way. I mean, just you look at him, you're like, how in the hell is he just beating everybody or get his shots up? But that's just basketball. And Quinn Snyder, from a coaching perspective, out of bounds plays, underneath out of bounds plays, just on the sideline, just drawing up these. But great basketball to watch. So if you're a basketball fan, you appreciate it. But if you're a novice and you're just outside looking in and just like to view the game, Utah is not going to be a team that you're just going to watch. This Utah-Memphis series, for a lot of people, they're like, eh, I like John Morant, but I'd rather watch something else. And that's unfortunate.
Yeah. So, I, you know, there's the phones now, Jim. And you and I grew up in a generation without phones being our cameras. So you and I, you know, you can go golfing for 4 hours and not even play with your phone, and you don't care because you didn't grow up with it, and I didn't grow up with it. I'm the same way. I can watch a game and not have the phone around me and be totally okay. And so when I see this fan behavior, part of me thinks this is outrageous. And then part of me thinks, was this happening in the 70s, 80s, 90s, but we didn't have phones? And, so you tell me, go back to your career. What I'm seeing with fans now, does it bother you, or are you like, that was every road trip, you'd go on the road. If you went on a 7-game roadie, you'd get two of these.
Mm-hmm. No, it bothers me because it's not – look, players understand, I don't care what sport it is. You're going to get heckled. Well, okay, you say what you want. All right, that's fine. I suck, I can't play, or whatever it may be. That's fine. That's your opinion. But once you start getting personal, that's another sore subject. That's when you cross the line. You really cross the line when you put your hands on somebody or then throw objects. Now, let's put it in perspective. Here in America, that's some kind of anomaly, okay? We don't really see it a lot, but we're seeing it more. Well, I'm going to tell you something. When you play over in Europe, you get pennies thrown at you, batteries thrown at you. That's what they do over there. So it's common for that to happen in Europe. But in America now, we're starting to see a generation of people who feel they have the right to do whatever they want to do with no recourse. Okay, I'm mad at this player, and now I have the right to throw something at them because I paid my money, or I'm upset, or I want to run on the court. Now, we've seen people run on the court before and do crazy stuff like that play right there. We've seen streakers, you know what I mean, run across the football field. Okay, we've seen that. But the actual events of throwing something at a player, to me, is bothersome because that shows that, one, you have no respect for the player, for the game, for the arena, for the teams, or anything. But two, it shows a level of arrogance where you think you can do whatever you want to these players without any recourse. And they're just some animals in cages, and you're just out there watching, and here I'm throwing something. That's the part that bothers me. And somebody's going to get seriously hurt if this continues to happen, whether that's the player or the person that's doing it in the stands. Somebody in the stands is going to take some actions, Colin, okay? And it's going to be ugly before the cops can get to that person.
Yeah. Jim Jackson, Fox Sports, calling the Nets-Celtics game 5 tonight. I think Brooklyn's going to sew it up. My man, it's great seeing you, as always.
Always, brother. Always. Enjoy.
Right. You bet. He's loyal to that Mike Conley. Ohio State guys. Buckeyes are loyal. All of them. Every Buckeye I've ever known, they're loyal.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Joy with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is The Herd Line News.
Apparently, Florida Gators are loyal, too, because Urban brought in Tim Tebow and instantly grabbed the attention of the sports world.
Yes.
According to Albert Breer, the media circus that surrounds him has led to one common complaint from Tebow's former coaches, is that Tebow doesn't do anything to actively calm down Tebow mania.
How do you do that?
The hype that follows him wherever he goes.
How do you calm? Now, serious question. What is Tim supposed to do?
You can't help if you're a polarizing person or you're a star. You don't make that determination for yourself. People try to do that all the time, become stars. And they're mostly just stars in their own mind. Like, you have that kind of, sprinkle dust on you,
yeah,
or you don't. And so from that perspective, I would agree. It's not his fault that everyone is obsessed with him. Like, that's just who he is.
Right.
That said, I do think that you have to have some level of self-awareness.
Yeah.
When you are in a situation as unique as this. The baseball thing didn't bother me. Didn't work with football. You still want to play. He was still young. That was years ago. If he can make it, so what? He's obviously getting the opportunity because he's Tim Tebow. But, I mean, by all accounts, he had a successful run at it. It's not like he made made some huge, miraculous career out of it. But That's what a lot of guys aspire to do, is play baseball professionally, and he was able to do that. So I didn't have a problem with that. But the issue I think that most people have with Tebow is that he continues to get opportunities that he doesn't necessarily deserve. Now, you could argue that he has great relationships, and yeah. anybody who has great relationships who takes advantage of those relationships, maybe they earned them, which in this case, maybe Tebow did by being a great player for Urban Meyer and being a great person, which he is.
Yeah.
But this feels a little bit unfair.
Gimmicky.
Feels a little gimmicky. And that, I think, is the issue that people have in this situation. And where I would argue against the he can't control the Tebow mania thing is, to what end are you going to continue to put yourself in these situations? Yeah. We know that Tebow could be a very well-paid broadcaster right now.
Yeah.
Which most people do not have access to, which is fine because he did it and he was good at it. We know he could be a speaker. So, like, what is it about this particular opportunity that is bothering everyone so much? And I think when you look at it, it's that it feels a bit unfair.
Yeah, I've heard this criticism of the media, which is, well, he's offered it, so he should take it. And I'll just give you a personal example. I get offered lots of money to tweet stuff, a lot of money. And I turn it down.
Right.
I don't think it's good. I think it's bad for everything. It's bad for a brand if I have one. It's bad to associate Fox with something. I get offered a lot of stuff. I've had more cannabis companies. Nothing against them. So the idea that you have to take every opportunity
right.
is not true. The idea, Tim knowing in Jacksonville, Florida Gator territory, right down the road, switching positions, he's smart enough to know the circus will implode.
Right. Like, and like I think if he's going to take this opportunity, if I'm Tim Tebow, and he obviously put himself out there. It's not like everyone was calling him to come and come back and play tight end.
Right.
I would sprinkle a little self-awareness on it by being adamant that I am only here to play tight end because I still want to compete. I have no interest in participating in any kind of quarterback situation whatsoever. That's not what I'm here to do. This is Trevor Lawrence's team. Like, push that out every time you have the opportunity to say something, or even if you don't, like, make it a point that everyone knows that that's what you're trying to do. He's not going to take the job from Trevor Lawrence. But that, to me, yeah. I think having a little humility in the situation.
And like, being like...
extra humility. Like, not that he's not a humble guy, but like, lay like, on us a little bit.
Yeah, like, it's not outrageous to think somebody with more self-awareness would say, you know, it's Jacksonville, Trevor Lawrence is a rookie, I could probably be a distraction. Like, I don't think that's outrageous for Tim to have said, which is, I've been given my chance, I've been out of the sport 8 years, Urban's a great guy, I appreciate the offer. I don't think that's that heady. My first takeaway is, does Tim understand, like, Tim is aware of his brand. Tebow is a business. If I'm Tim Tebow and was offered this, I would have been like, no. I'm not going to create a circus for Trevor Lawrence. And I can honestly say, I've turned down a lot of things in my life.
Yeah, there's power in no.
I would turn it down.
There's power in no. And I think the one part of the brand that I think that maybe coaches are talking about in this is that you have to be aware that in this brand, not this isn't everyone's brand, but in Tebow's brand, there are a lot of people that truly despise the fact that we're talking about this right now. They don't like him. They're actively rooting for him to fail. And right. if that is something that is a part of your brand, you have to be aware of that
That's right.
as well. And just kind of smooth, just give those people a little bit of what they're aching for as well.
Yeah.
So fans in Chicago are very excited about their future with Justin Fields now that he is with the team. Matt Nagy said on our show last month that they would not play him until he was ready to make sure that he is successful. They still have Andy Dalton and Nick Foles on the roster, but according to Jeremy Fowler, Fields will be given the chance to earn the starting job if he has an impressive training camp.
Now, is this just come out today? I didn't see this morning. Did this just come out?
Yeah, he's going to be given the chance to earn the starting job. Justin Fields also has 3 of the top 5 selling jerseys in the NFL right now. The other 2 are Tebow.
By the way, he also had a lot of college starts. So this is not Trey Lance. This is not like a guy that hasn't played. This guy started for a college football power 2 years of starts. Like Joe Burrow, you didn't pay attention to his junior year, but he did start his junior year.
I don't necessarily subscribe to the idea that a rookie has to wait behind a veteran.
Well, especially if he's got 35 college starts.
Yes. I mean, I think there is some value to learning on the job training. I think yeah. there is some value to that. And, you know, the Bears front office isn't in the most comfortable space. And sometimes rookies come out and surprise us. Justin Herbert did.
Well,
Joe Burrow wasn't a surprise to me, but like, he was certainly impressive.
Also, should be noted that the college game and the NFL game are more similar than years ago. So Justin Fields, a lot of the concepts, I mean, if you watch Matt Nagy coach, Trubisky did some college stuff because Trubisky was more athlete than thrower. Justin Fields, a way better thrower and an athlete. But a lot of the stuff that Justin Fields, he's just going to have to memorize a new language, but they're going to run a lot of the same I mean, it's not like when you watch Ohio State, they're running the wishbone. They got a lot of NFL. He's been throwing to NFL players for the last 2 years at Ohio State.
I just don't know how, if he's not even slightly impressive in training camp, how you're not going to start him. Like, you have to give the fans something to be excited about. And if they're seeing Justin Fields look good and competent in training camp, and the reports are that he's doing well and the players are buying in, and then you try and bring out Andy Dalton week one.
You know what's really funny about this? 2 years ago, we were hearing all these stories about Justin Herbert. He's stiff. He reads one side of the field. He's mechanical. And Justin Fields, it was like he doesn't go to a second progressions. It's really interesting to me, first of all, how similar Herbert and Justin Fields are as athletes. Big, strong, mobile athletes with big arms, big play guys. And it's similar to some of the criticisms. So it's funny, like Justin Herbert, I remember that first camp, Joy, we weren't even giving him a chance to play.
Yep.
It wasn't Tyrod Taylor's team. And then all of a sudden in camp, because I know the Chargers pretty well, people were like, that kid is good. And they were like, but he's not ready yet. Well, then they gave him the start.
Well, they had to.
And he was ready. Like, it's very hard to say a guy's not ready in preseason, because Justin Herbert, there is a, and I don't know how to explain it, but there's levels of football. There's practice. There's preseason. There's regular season. There's playoffs. Like, Justin Herbert, once it counted, like, was a better player in a game than he was at practice. Like, Justin Fields is so naturally gifted. You're going to see some stuff at practice, but I think you put him into a game situation. A lot of what he and Justin Herbert do, you can't just tell in preseason. You got to see live bullets.
Exactly.
How are they doing in the moment? And like Justin Fields, I watched almost every start that mattered in his career. He just did some stuff. You can't do it practice.
He was very often the best player on the field.
And you can't do it scrimmages.
Yep.
He is going to pop when you see him live.
So the playoffs continue tonight with 3 Game 5s, and every home team is favored. According to Fox Bet, the Nets are 12.5-point favorites over the Celtics to close out the series tonight. The Nuggets are favored by 2.5 to take a 3-2 series lead over the Blazers. And the Lakers are 5-point underdogs to the Suns following the report that AD is unlikely to play.
Can I see those? Can I see the Fox Bet odds
Nets
again?
Nets are favored by 12.5, Nuggets by 2.5, and the Suns by 5.
I don't like giving up 12.5.
Yeah, I would imagine the Celtics would give a little more fight to try and...
But I would probably take... My favorite bet of those is Nuggets minus 2.5.
Same.
I'll take the Nuggets minus 2.5. The other two are passes, but I do think the Suns and the Nets will win, but those numbers.
I think the Suns-Lakers game will be closer than that, but again, I would stay away from it. But 12.5 points is a lot in a closeout game for the Celtics with everything that's been going on in that series.
Boy, I'll tell you what, Milwaukee-Brooklyn coming up next, that is such a good series.
I just hope it goes 7.
So good.
I want some game 7s.
Yeah. All right, Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
100 days from NFL opening night. Cowboys Buccaneers. Talking the best young quarterbacks in the NFL as we get ready. That's just 100 nights from the opener. Forget preseason. For camp start in a week. The Packers can find Aaron Rodgers in a week. Now they can't. The OTA stuff's not mandatory. Camp is mandatory. So camps are starting in a week.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hot water that never runs out? Go to Navien tankless water heaters. TanklessMadeSimple.com, TanklessMadeSimple.com. Navien, saving your water bill, space, all that. All right, so 100 days, Joy, from the start of the NFL season, which will be Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Dallas Cowboys. A lot of offense in that game. So we thought to celebrate 100 days out, and camp start in a week. This is a league run by quarterbacks. And I don't think in my lifetime we've ever had more great young quarterbacks. I said this about the NBA. The talent's never been better. You can complain about leadership, but talent, it's insane. Quarterback talent is remarkable. So the 10 best quarterbacks in the NFL, 25 years of age or younger. These are the babies.
Okay.
These are the babies. Here we go.
Number 10.
All right, Daniel Jones. Now, before you say, oh, you can't beat winning teams. Well, this is a franchise in a rebuild. He's the only Giants quarterback ever. 5,000 passing yards, 35 touchdown passes in his first 2 years. That is without a great O-line and no Saquon Barkley. So they have – Daniel can play. Now, Daniel's issues until the end of last year were turnovers. But his talent's there. He's Alex Smith with a better arm. Dude can run. He's an athlete.
Number 9.
Sam Darnold. Okay, say what you want. Do you know no quarterback in the NFL, none, have played with fewer Pro Bowlers since they've been drafted than Sam Darnold? He was pressured on 42% of his passes last year. Easily the highest percentage in the league. Now he gets Christian McCaffrey, Chuba Hubbard, DJ Moore, Terrace Marshall, Robbie Anderson, and a coach that's not a crazy person.
Number 8.
Trevor Lawrence. I'm just going to say it right now. I said this about Andrew Luck. He will be good game one. He'll be very good. He's never lost a high school or college regular season game. He's 86-4. All of the losses have been like, you know, playoff stuff, losing to Alabama or an Ohio State. He's a remarkable once-in-a-decade talent.
Number 7.
Joe Burrow. Now, I know he got hurt, but you had to be blown away. We don't even know if that coach, Zach Taylor, is good. The offensive line is average at best, and they had one go-to wide receiver. And yet he had 5 games of 300-plus yards passing. Okay, first rookie quarterback in league history with 3 straight 300-yard games. Again, without great protection, tough division, and a really, really young head coach.
Number 6.
Kyler Murray. What I liked about him, he got better at everything. He got better. Passing yards, up. Completion percentage, up. TD passes, up. Passer rating, up. Wins, up. What does that mean? He likes to learn. He cares. He's into it. He got better at every single thing. And we still don't know, let's be honest. 4th best roster in their division, and we don't know if Cliff Kingsbury's the guy. We don't know. We think. We don't know.
Number 5.
Justin Herbert. I could have him low. Do you know in the entire league last year, he had the highest passer rating in the NFL under pressure, a 99. Now, pressure can unravel Brady. Legends. He had a 99 passer rating. The Chargers' O-line was rated first or second worst in the league. So now they've massively retooled the O-line. They're in the hunt for Julio Jones, many believe. He broke every record imaginable for a rookie quarterback. Touchdown passes, total touchdowns. He had 8 300-yard games, completions. He is just way better than I think even the Chargers thought.
Number 4.
Deshaun Watson. I don't know if you know this, though. He has the highest completion percentage in league history. Did you know that? I didn't until I read it, 67.8%. Don't know what's happening to him in the offseason, but he led the NFL in passing yards last year. Not his fault. They were 4-12.
Number 3.
Lamar Jackson, you know I like him. He's won 80% of his games. I don't want to hear about anything else. He's won 80% of his games. Okay, when he trails by 14 points, he's 0-6. Guess what? Go look at Aaron Rodgers' record when he trails by 14 points. That's 2 touchdowns in the NFL. Most teams don't win. Lamar Jackson can play, folks. 80% winner in the NFL.
Number 2.
Josh Allen. I mean, 6'6", huge arm, runs fast. I don't know. Again, I thought this kid had a bust potential because if you watched his Wyoming stuff, he was all over the map. Buffalo is going to be a Super Bowl contender for the next 12 years. because of him. First player NFL history, 4,500 passing yards, 35 TD passes, 5 rushing TDs in a year, in a season.
Number one.
All right, whatever, Patrick Mahomes, he's good. I mean, we don't know. I don't have to go into detail. It's like Patrick Mahomes is really, really good. Highest passer rating in NFL history. Highest winning percentage in the Super Bowl era. Yeah, and good kid. Huge arm. Cartoon arm. There you go, right there. Mahomes, Allen, Lamar, Deshaun, Justin, Kyler Murray, Joe Burrow, Trevor Lawrence, Sam Darnold, Daniel Jones. You guys are just going to eat it on Sam Darnold this year. I'm going to be so right on that. I cannot wait. He's going to be like 10-7, and you're all going to eat it. All right, I'm going to eat lunch. We're done. M-Drive. Check them out. M-Drive from N.com. Free shipping. 60-day money-back guarantee. Get lean. See you tomorrow.